Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I'm super excited to have you joining us here today, listening in from all across the world wide web. How you doing? This is your girl, Charvette Mitchell, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. And I got to tell you today, the weather is phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. Low humidity. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. So hopefully, wherever you are, you had an awesome day today. So listen, this show is packed jam with lots and lots of stuff. We're going to be talking to artists and authors and give you some industry updates and give you some nuggets and some events and all that good stuff here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So make sure you are following me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette, and then, of course, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And if you don't know how to spell it, let me help you out. That's S-H-A-R-V, as in Victor, E-T-T-E. And, of course, you can go to my main website, charvette.com. All right, so listen, I'm telling you what, we're going to let you hear some music today from the Singletons family. We are going to be talking to Charles Clark. I am excited because I actually heard him minister live in North Carolina at the North Carolina Gospel Announcers Guild, and I was like, oh, this dude is good. So we have him coming on the show, and you'll get to hear his single that I love, 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 We Walk by Faith. Then we're going to roll into the next segment talking to an author. She is back by popular demand. We are excited to have author Paulette Harper Johnson. She's not just an author, though. I got to mention she's a life coach. She's a speaker, but we're going to be chatting it up with her today concerning her brand new book that is out, the hot new book that's out just in time for the summer. I know you're getting ready for your summer trips and all that good stuff. It's called The Sanctuary. So we're going to be talking to Paulette Harper about that. Can the battered, bruised, and the broken seeds of love ever blossom again? We're going to find out about it in The Sanctuary, again, her brand new book that is out. So listen, let's go to a quick music break segment right here. We're going to play the single that's out by the Singletons family called The Power of Love. Here we go.
About the greatest gift in this world given to us. To say a word, give a touch or a smile, fill in an ear for just a little while. We'll let somebody know how much you really care.
Now you can feel the power of love when you can. There's a whole lot of people in the world that need your help. Now listen to me, no shoes on the feet, no place to call home. She's feeling all alone, so I give her my hand, 'cause I understand that that could have been me.
We can overcome anything.
Overcome.
Ooh.
ways that we all have used before. But it's not just what you say, but it's what you do that speaks so much more. Spend some time with someone close, or just to give a hug when it means the most. We'll let someone know what love.
That was by the Singletons family. Check them out on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff there. Listen, in way of a media announcement, we are excited. Veronica Petrucci of the famous group Angelo and Veronica, she has released a new record in Spanish, and she has recorded Take Me to the King, of course, made popular by gospel artist Tamela Mann. She has recorded Take Me to the King in Spanish, in the Spanish language. Isn't that awesome? So you can actually go to YouTube and look at that. She also has her own project out, and I'm telling you, I heard her live also. She has a project out. You can actually see her coming up if you're in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. She will be a special guest at the Virginia Gospel Announcers Guild anniversary celebration in September, September 13th and 14th, and she will be the featured guest, and you'll get to hear from her. So if you love Angelo and Veronica, I'm telling you what, they have not gone off the scene. They are still on the scene, and go check out her rendition of Take Me to the King in Spanish that is available on YouTube. And again, that's Veronica. Her last name is P-E-T-R-U-C-C-I. All right, we want to give definitely a big shout out to one of our featured advertisers for this week, Miss Tanya White, and that's Tanya with A's, T-A-N-Y-A. Miss Tanya White, she is a author, she is a life coach. She has some teaching CDs available. You can secure her for life coaching. She has some books out. Let me tell you, she has a teaching CD out called Enough is Enough. I know some of y'all, that's right up your alley. Another one she has out, You Can't Quit, and another one, It's Worth the Fight. So definitely check her out, TanyaWhite.com, and that's T-A-N-Y-A, White.com. Oh, my goodness, she has a book out called Relationship Reruns. Have you ever felt like you were going through the same thing over and over and over again, and you're like, my God, I feel like this is a rerun? Well, she has a book that can help address that, hopefully some of your relationship reruns. So, again, check out TanyaWhite.com. She is ready to rejuvenate you and boost your spirits and all that good stuff. All right, one thing I wanted to mention, it's been kind of buzzing on the social media. There is a new commercial out by Cheerios that features an interracial couple. So the commercial opens up with a Caucasian mother sitting at the table, and a cute little girl, their little daughter, walks up. And, of course, the theme around the Cheerios commercials is around heart health and being heart healthy. And so the little girl is asking her mom, she wants to confirm that Cheerios are good for your heart. So her mom is like, yes. So then she runs off. You see her run off to another room. And her dad is laying on the couch asleep. He's an African-American. And she dumps the whole box of Cheerios on his chest. It's so cute. When he wakes up, all he sees is, like, Cheerios all over the floor. So when I first saw the commercial, I thought, that is so cute. And I thought it was progressive of Cheerios to do that. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Well, evidently, it has stirred a few people, and to the point that they actually had to delete the comment section on YouTube. So they had the commercial available on YouTube. I've seen it several times on TV, but they had the commercial available on YouTube, and it's still available. However, you cannot comment because people were so racist and negative and all that crazy stuff about a Cheerios commercial that represents families that you see today. So big shout out to Cheerios for not taking the commercial down, not pulling it from advertising, but taking a stand to reach out to all types of customers and all types of consumers. So I posted the link about this on my Facebook wall and just made the comment, you know, we have come so far, yet we have so far to go as far as it concerns race relations in the United States. So if you haven't seen the cute Cheerios commercial, if you haven't heard the buzz about the Cheerios company off doing a commercial that features an interracial couple, then go check it out. Go check it out. All right, so we're moving into another music segment. I'm telling you what, you want to keep it locked right here. If you just tuned in, we say hello. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. Yes, we are, but heard all across the World Wide Web. Yes, yes, yes. So big shout out to those listening from Twitter, listening from Facebook, those that listen in iTunes. We appreciate you. Those listening on Zoom, we appreciate you as well. In our next two segments coming up, we're going to be chatting it up with Charles Clark, I am telling you what, like I said, I heard him live, and I was like, this dude is killing it. I went right to the table where he was when he finished and purchased his product. And so you're going to get to hear from Charles Clark. He has a brand new CD out called Still With Me, and the single, We Walk By Faith, you're going to get to hear it. It's fire. I love it. It's playing in my car and all that good stuff. He is classically trained. He's a praise and worship leader. He shared the stages with people such as Karen Clark Sheard and Ernest Pugh and Jessica Reedy. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And again, then following that, in our author spotlight, we'll be talking to Paulette Harper Johnson. All right, so let's go to another music segment. I like this young lady. She's from Richmond, Lori Michelle, and this is called Sweet Escape. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Ooh,
Mary Michelle, Sweet Escape. Go check her out on cdbaby.com. Connect with her. I like her. She's from Richmond, Virginia. So listen, support, support. We're moving in to our next artist spotlight. I'm delighted. I see my guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. Hopefully he is enjoying some virtual chicken and virtual salad and all that good stuff. So listen, we have talked about Charles Clark. I am excited to have him joining us. I heard him live, like I said, and as soon as he walked up the stage, as soon as I walked out the door of the event, I went to his table and purchased his product, and I'm excited that we get to feature him on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So I'm going to the mics to bring Mr. Charles Clark on the line. Put your hands together. Why don't you? Hello, Charles. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing awesome. We're glad to have you on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, featuring you in our artist spotlight.
Wow, I'm glad to be on. I've been excited all day, actually. I've been seeing you tweet, and I've been retweeting, so I've been excited all day.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I love to let people kind of know about you, the behind the music, I call it. How did music ministry start for you? I know I saw in your bio that you're classically trained, but how did your music ministry kind of spring forth?
Wow. My family. I come from a musical background family, and the genre that my family did was quartet music. I'm from the little country town of Laurinburg, North Carolina, and so my background, I grew up with knowing quartet music, hymns, and
wow,
kind of like that old school feel. So to actually be doing this genre of music is a whole lot different from what I grew up on or grew up hearing. I'm sure a lot of people probably thought I probably would have did quartet growing
right.
up. But when I was growing up, because I heard it so much, I wanted to do something different. And contemporary worship, like all that type of stuff, always interested me. So even when I sung growing up, I grew up on hymns, you know, singing hymns and singing old
right.
songs like that. But when I would, like, go out and sing and I really started knowing that music was something I wanted to do, I always did quartet music. So I would be on programs and stuff with my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
So the group comprised of my grandfather and my uncles and my dad. And so if I would do programs with them or like family programs, I would be the only one on the program doing contemporary music.
Oh, wow.
So that was always interesting. And I think my family, it really interested my family because they really got to see something different or hear something different more than what they were actually used to. So, yeah, that's a little bit about their background. I grew up on a quartet. My grandmother kept me in church.
Wow.
I used to cry to go to church, believe it or not. When I was younger,
church baby.
I would cry to go to church. And my mom always tell me that that's how she came to Christ. Like, she told me that she wanted to know the God that I kept crying about or kept trying to get to church
my
about.
God.
So, That was actually the amazing thing. So from a little boy, I sung in the church choirs. I led song on the choir. I sung on every choir of the church. Every single choir. The male choir. I was a little itty-bitty boy singing on the adult choir, the gospel chorus, the male choir, the youth choir. Like, I was on every choir. I was on every single choir. And then my godmom was the keyboard player at the church, so she made yeah. sure that everything that I did was about music.
My, and you know, that quartet background, those are hardcore fans. Like, they
yeah.
fans, they ride or die. They, like, there for life. So for
yeah,
you to be
yeah.
able to come out of that and say, you know, hey, I have a different type of music that I want to do, that's awesome that you were able to break away. Some people kind of get stuck and just
yeah.
say, well, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just going to do it, not to ruffle any feathers. So.
Right, right.
Wow. So where did the classicalness come in at?
Well, I was when I got into middle school, of course, you know, I always took course. You know, they give us art course or something like that. I always took course. And then when I got in middle school, I took show choir. I was in show
okay.
choir all throughout middle school. And then when I got in high school, I was in the course throughout high school, all city course, like where all the schools combined and like certain people selected for that. So course. And then when I went to college, I was in university choir, I think, for like a year or two. But I wanted to do something different. Like, I was tired of chorus. I was tired of, honestly, doing the classical music. So classical and gospel is two totally different things. So once
yeah.
once I got to college, I didn't want to do it no more. Like, my love for that type of chorus and show choir, like that type of music, it was gone by then. And I was just tired of it because I had been doing it for so long, since middle school. So it came very early, but I got out of it once I grew up and kind of, I guess, once I felt like I was too grown to do it anymore.
Right.
I got out of it when I was in college.
Oh, wow. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we say hello. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. We're in our artist spotlight talking to Charles Clark. Listen, we want you to connect with him. Connect with him on Twitter. I've been tweeting him at Clark_sings, at Team Sing Charles. You can follow him on Twitter, on Facebook, his fan page, Charles Clark. Very simple. Go check him out. Go check him out. All right, so you've had the opportunity to share the stage with many gospel greats, Karen Clark
yeah.
Shears and Ernest Pugh mm-hmm. and Monique Walker and Vicki Wynes, Jessica Reedy, James Forte. I mean, the list goes on and on. Has that helped you in the sense of just being able to observe stage presence, things of that nature, or did that give you the big head at one point?
No, it honestly didn't. Out of all those experiences, I was so humble. And me sharing the stage with those artists started at a young age. It started when I was in high school. It started
wow.
at a very young age. So God afforded me the opportunity at a young age to actually be able to share the stage with those people. And then I did some background for Jessica Reedy for a couple of months. When she was promoting her CD, and then I connected with James Fortune to do some stuff with him, and Dorinda Clark Cole, I did some background for her. Like, so everything that has happened, like, it was totally God. Like, it was God's hand, like, all the connections. And I think seeing them in their element, and not only seeing them on the stage,
uh-huh.
but actually being able to do background and interact with them on a more personal level, knowing the business aspect, because there's more to artistry than just singing and
oh
just
my
music.
God.
You have to really know the business aspect. You have to know the ins and outs, especially as an independent artist, because you want people to take you just as serious as they would a mainstream artist. And for them to know, okay, if Charles Clark is coming to this event has to be, you know, this event has to be a nice event. I want to go to this event because Charles Clark is going to be there. The same they would as if they would say, okay, I want to go to this event because Jonathan Key is going to be there.
Right.
Although I'm not mainstream and I'm not well known as them, you have to know, it's important to kind of know the ins and outs and details just as if you were on a major label or you have been singing for 50 years or 15 years or 10 years. Like just like they are, and I'm glad that I have. I connected with the manager, Charles Chip Matthews, with Chameleon Productions, and we're basically independent. Like I just said, we're independent
mm-hmm.
artists. We have an independent label, and we basically connected about two or three years ago. I met him at the Lamplight Awards when I was doing some background for James and Dorinda Clark Cole, and I met him, and we connected, and we stayed in touch since then, and. I really feel like it was definitely God, because all connections are not godly connections.
You better say that.
We have to really know what we are connecting to, what our power source that we're connecting to, because some power sources can make you can give you a light outage.
That's right, or the drain, zap that energy right
yeah,
out of you.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to really know, and I think I know because. That it was a godly connection, because so many people have told me, hey, you know, I'm going to do this for you. I'm gonna help you out. Hey, I want to do your album. I want to call your album. But it always fell through. But when I connected with Chip, everything happened. I told Chip what I wanted to do. I told him, I said, hey, I heard a song, and I said, hey, I want this song. And the song is actually my new single, We Walk By Faith. I told Chip, I said, hey, I want this song from this producer. And he said, okay, I know this guy.
Wow.
So from there, we connected. I recorded We Walk By Faith. I got in the studio. I recorded my first single, Still With Me. And I was already doing some recording, and people didn't really know that I was already recording a whole album.
Wow.
It started out originally as a single, but what we did was we went ahead and just recorded the album. And so, you know, God basically did his hand, his favor. Like, everything was done totally by God. Like, I can't give no man the credit for anything, but God strategically placed the people in my life.
Yeah.
Strategically put together the blueprint, the plan, how everything is working out. Like, it was all God. It was all God.
Wow. Well, we definitely want to give a shout-out to Chip. Big shout-out to him. And then your full team, everyone that works with you. Lamar, everyone that works with you, big shout-out there. And, you know, just right there, those that are aspiring artists, new artists, he, like, gave you, like, a class, like, in just, like, 2 minutes. So you can send us some PayPal donations right now because we just gave you a free class. Authentic, real information right there. So awesome. I love it. And we're going to let the listeners hear. We're going to let them hear We Walk By Faith. And when I heard you, definitely I'm in agreement with what you said earlier about whatever you put out, whatever you produce. And this applies to artists. This applies to authors. This applies to anyone. You have to be on par with whatever is mainstream to be seen as significant as they are. And if you're not, then people make perceptions. And it's not to say that that is accurate, not to say that it is fair or right, but it just is. So your sound, your look, all of that has to be on par. And I hear a lot of singing. I hear a lot of music. I've done over 250 interviews at this point in my life. And I know when I hear a sound, I hear a lot of singing, but I know when I hear a sound. And when I heard you, I heard a sound. I heard a sound. So, yes. So tell us about the rest of the project and how did you so we know we got the story. You heard We Walk By Faith and you wanted that song. How did the other songs come about?
I sat down with the producer that produced basically most of the songs on the project. I sat down with him in our first initial meeting, and he didn't talk to me about nothing. I went straight in the booth. He had already prepared one of the songs, which was the first song on the record. He had already laid it out, had already, you know, basically put out the format to the beginning of the song. Of course, I finished it later. But he just wanted to hear my voice, to hear how I sounded on it, and to hear if his ear was matching what I wanted to hear, my sound as well. And after that, I loved that song. After that, he sat down with me and told me, he said, Charles, what do you want people to hear from you? Like, when they hear you, what do you want to be identified with you? And I told him, I said, I don't want people to hear just one sound. I want versatility. I want people to know the worship Charles. I want people to know the youthful Charles. I want people to know the Charles that don't mind stepping out of his element, doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that he captured all of that. And Let It Go, the song that you heard me do, the first song you heard me do before I did We Walk By Faith, my MD, Aaron Carter, actually produced that song. And that song came about in the living room of the apartment. In the living room. He heard some words, and we just started putting words together. Like, and so the song just burst from the living room, and there's different from there. You know, that song came about, but I just have to say that I wanted something different. I didn't want a familiar sound, because so many times as an independent artist, you hear mainstream artists and you hear stuff that they already have out, and you try to tap into what's already being heard.
Right.
And a lot of times we can miss our opportunities because a lot of times people want to hear something different. They want to hear something unique. Like, they want to hear something that they haven't heard before. And so that's what I wanted to give people. I wanted to give people something that they haven't heard. They can't say, oh, this sound like this.
Mm-hmm.
This sound like this. I wanted it to be, like you said earlier, authentic. I wanted it to be something that was very out of the box.
Listeners, so you and you listeners, you could go pick it up. Still With Me is the title, is the title of the project.
Yes,
by Charles Clark, available on iTunes, Amazon.com. Pick it up. Charles Clark, still with me. All right, we wanted to make sure that they had that information and they knew about that. So I know you were at Walmart not too long ago in partnership with
I haven't went to Walmart yet. I go to Walmart.
Oh, when is that? When is
Saturday.
That?
It's this upcoming Saturday. It's in Wake Forest, North Carolina. It's right in a city right outside of Raleigh. It's basically a hop, skip, and a jump outside of Raleigh. I'll be at Walmart Saturday. I'll be doing a full concert at Walmart outside of Walmart. God is amazing. God is amazing. I'll be doing a full concert outside of Walmart. For listeners, I'll be selling products, and preferably God will open up a door for me to put the album in Walmart, that Walmart.
Yes.
I'm praying that God's hand has already met me there, that the favor has already met me there, that when I leave Walmart, the managers, the general managers will be asking, how can we put the album in Walmart?
That's a good prayer. We dispatch the distribution angels to do what they do, to do what they do. One thing that definitely jumped out at me on the We Walk By Faith, which listeners are going to let you hear in like 2 minutes, the drums, I don't know what, if it's just my ear, but the drums seem like they just jumped out at me. I love the drums within that song.
Yes. It was actually Honey Child Entertainment, which is Philip Bryant, his team did all the instrumentation on that, and I can tell you that's what caught my attention on We Walk By Faith. Once the beat dropped on We Walk By Faith, it really takes me to another element. Like, seriously, it really takes me to another place. Like, I really love how it musically captures people, listeners.
Yeah.
Not only just the music, but the vocal arrangements and everything really kept. And I have to say that We Walk By Faith is the ultimate favorite of everybody. People are always tweeting me, Instagramming me, Facebooking me, pictures of them listening to We Walk By Faith, like,
wow,
all the time. It's actually very amazing that was one of the songs that I originally heard, and I told Chip, I have to have this song. Like, that's the song that actually captures listeners or captures people's attention. So God is actually amazing. That lets me know that God had his hand on the project or had his hand on it from the beginning.
From the beginning. Well, without further ado, we're going to let listeners hear We Walk By Faith. Again, Charles, I'm excited that we had an opportunity to have you on air and to feature you here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. You're welcome. The goal here is to motivate, excite, and influence. And my last question for you is, what continues to motivate you?
Knowing that my music, the music that God has given, is actually impacting people. It's actually impacting listeners. Because it's so easy to get discouraged, because sometimes you may feel like, as an independent artist, I can speak for independent artists, we honestly get a little bit more discouraged because we may feel like we're being passed by or doors are being shut. But I actually thank God for the shut doors. Simply because it prepared me for a time such as this. And I do feel like this is my moment, this is my time, and God has actually prepared me for this place. So I'm motivated by knowing that the CD and the album and the songs are actually playing a huge role in encouraging and uplifting listeners.
Yeah.
So that's what motivates me, honestly, to keep going, even if I don't feel like it. That's what motivates me to get on the stage and I got to give this my all, because I know that this is hitting ears, and you never know who has been delivered, who is being healed, who wants to come to Jesus just by listening to, because people don't always showcase the fact that they actually feel something, or just because people don't actually stand up all the time and say, hey, I like this, that doesn't mean that people aren't actually getting the message.
Right, you're right.
Trying to portray, and people can tell. People come and tell me after the fact. They actually say, "Hey, that song, it really ministered me. I was really in a dry place. I was in a rough place, and this song actually ministered to me." That's what makes me smile, and that's what makes me look up at God and just tell God, you know, thank you for this opportunity, because if it wasn't for Him, I'm so unworthy. You know what I'm saying? I'm an unworthy vessel that he allowed me the opportunity. And so I'm always thanking him that he allowed me and afforded me the opportunity to do what I do, because if it wasn't for him to giving me the gift,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do it anyway. So I thank him for the gift. And it's not like that, you know, when he gives you a gift, he give it to you for you to use it. And a
That's
lot of
right.
people say, God, I give my gift back to you, but gifts are given to you. God is not an Indian giver. So when he give you a gift, he gives it to you to use, and I thank him that he mobilizes me and he gives me the stability to be able to walk into the callings that he's given me.
Well said, well said. Well, I, again, am so glad you were able to stop by. So we're going to let listeners hear We Walk by Faith by Charles Clark. Connect with him. Pick up the project, iTunes, Amazon.com,
yes,
and all that good stuff. All right. Thank you so much, Charles. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Here we go, listeners. We Walk by Faith.
By faith
That is from Charles Clark. Check him out. Pick up the project. The title is called Still With Me. You can pick that up iTunes and Amazon.com right there. There you have it. All right, we're rolling into our author spotlight. I'm delighted. My guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm going to be bringing her to the mic momentarily, Miss Paulette Harper Johnson. She is back by popular demand. She's been on the show before. She's an author. She's a writing coach. She's an inspirational speaker. She's a marketing consultant. I'm telling you, I don't know how she has time to breathe or think or any of that. She has a brand new hot book that's out called The Sanctuary, and we're going to be chatting up with her. We're bringing her to the mic right now. I'm excited to have Paulette Harper Johnson on the show. How you doing, Paulette?
I'm doing really good. How are you, Charvette?
I am fabulous. Glad to have you back on the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I want to say thank you so much for the invite. I'm just honored to be back on your show.
Oh, you are quite welcome, quite welcome. So many things have been going on in your world since the last time we chatted, but certainly this brand new book that's out, The Sanctuary. Tell our listeners a little bit about this particular book.
Sure. The Sanctuary actually is my first Christian fiction book. And I'm real excited about the direction which I'm going in, especially with this book. The Sanctuary centers around two people who are the pastors of the sanctuary, Bishop Cedric Jones and his lovely wife, Lacey. And it really shares about their own personal lives and their struggles that they had with, you know, each other in the ministry. And really brings to light what his issues were that he thought he had gotten, you know, freed up from and delivered from, and the struggle and the war that goes on with both of them as far as leading a great ministry called the Sanctuary.
Wow.
So in the book, very fictional but very. People can, when they read it, they'll be able to kind of identify with some of their own, you know, struggles that they may have in or out of ministry. And I love what, you know, God has given me in that book because people can really be able to dive into it. It's some drama in there. It's a lot of laughter in there. And then also it's a real story of restoration and redemption.
All right. And with it being set in San Francisco, California, did you pick that location in particular for any reason?
Well, actually, I am from the San Francisco Bay Area. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. Those people that are in the San Francisco area, they'll know Pittsburgh, California. So I was born and raised in that area. And, so I'm a native of California. I live in Florida now, but California is my home, my family, and everyone still lives out in California.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I always like to kind of set the atmosphere and kind of understand why the book was chosen, that location was chosen for the scenery for the book. And so certainly whenever you have a book out about that centers around a church, one disclaimer we want to make sure that's out there or answered is this based on a real church, real people, any of your friends or family or anyone like that that you would like to address to kind of calm or ease any fears?
Well, actually, I don't know any church name, The Sanctuary, and so my book is a fictional book, and so all the characters that are in there are all facetious characters. There is no real story behind it yet. As a fictional reader and a writer now, I know that these kind of stories really can, you know, fiction really can minister to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's describe the character and the characteristics of some of the main focus characters in the book. So Bishop Cedric and Lady Lacey Jones, how would you describe them as people?
Well, Bishop Cedric Marcel Jones is his full name. He's a very charismatic preacher, and he has some internal problems that he had thought he had gotten, you know, rid of, and mm-hmm. so these some issues have now resurfaced. But he's, you know, like I said, he's very charismatic. He loves his wife, of course. He loves doing what he believed God has called him to do. But there are some things about him that he has to yet deal with, things that he thought he dealt with, but some things happened in their personal lives and in ministry that caused these things to resurface. And so Lacey is the pastor's wife who just wants to promote her husband. She's kind of, you know, wants to be in the shadow of her husband. Mm-hmm. She ministers, but she knows where her place is. She's comfortable being the pastor's wife, the women's ministry leader, but she has her own ministry outside of the sanctuary. She's a very successful, she has a very successful publishing business, so she has many things keeping her occupied and keeping her busy as well, other than just the ministry. So she has her place. She knows her place not only in ministry, but she has a business of her own as well.
So does Lady Lacey have any issues with being a first lady?
She doesn't have any issues being a first lady because she always wanted to just be in the shadows of her husband. She just mm-hmm. wanted to promote him, and it really wasn't about, you know, her speaking or her ministry gifts. It was just about her. But she's very comfortable in her position. She knows how to gracefully walk in her anointing, and so she's not, you know, intimidated by the other women or anything else in the ministry. She's comfortable in her own skin.
And what is so interesting is that you yourself in real life are a first lady, so you
definitely able
to bring those elements to the story, definitely. All right, so what are maybe two or three key themes that you really want people to walk away with once they finish reading The Sanctuary?
That there is forgiveness and in this book, and even in our own everyday lives when we're dealing with people, and even in the ministry, as believers, sometimes we find it very hard to forgive, especially when we've been hurt and bruised by those that we love. But in this story here, I wanted to bring out that there is true forgiveness here. And then there is a redemptive story that happens when we think all hope and all, you know, all hope is gone and everything we've believed for won't happen and stuff. But there is some redemption in this story. So I want readers to, once they read it, to come, you know, to be refreshed, to be enlightened, but also to know that, you know what, there's redemption. Even when even when you don't want there to be, you know, because sometimes
right.
you're like that, you know. But I really, in this book, they'll find that there was a true forgiveness. And, you know, the forgiveness comes and is determined based on what you've been forgiven of and then how much you want to really forgive others.
Wow. How much you really want to forgive others. And something that you said, I think just sparked a plug that anyone can relate to, is that a lot of times when you think you have gotten over things, you think that, oh, I'm done with that. I've forgiven that. You know, I'm not thinking about that person or that situation anymore. And then one little thing happens to trigger a memory or a thought. And then you're looking at yourself like, wow, I thought
yeah.
I had dealt with that. Wow, I didn't know this
yeah.
was still impacting me the way it is. And I think all of us can relate to that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's a part in the book where Lacey is reminiscing on just some flags that she had overlooked or refused to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, you know, reminiscing about what could have been. And so when you talk to, you know, you mentioned about something can trigger that.
Yeah.
And that is so true, because you know, anything in life can trigger a, you know, a past memory, a, you know, something that happened traumatically within us. I mean, it could be something someone said. It can be some music. It could be an article. It can be, you know, a book you read can trigger these emotions back up again. But she does have a moment here where she's thinking about all the things that were, you know, blatantly revealed to her, but yet she chose to walk in a different path.
Oh, and sometimes, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, you can just see things so clearly. Like, why couldn't she just see that? But then when you're in the situation, you just have blinders on. You just almost just have blinders on. That's the only way to explain it. Oh, wow, this is good. Listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. I almost just fell out my chair. if y'all heard the inflection in my voice. And I have author, best-selling author. I want to mention that this is not her first book, so she's not a novice. Best-selling author Paulette Harper Johnson. We're talking about the new release, The Sanctuary. So we appreciate you tuning in. Paulette, how can listeners get a copy of The Sanctuary?
Well, actually, The Sanctuary has been released on Kindle and Nook. So those that have tablets and readers, they can go to Kindle and get a copy, and then also on Barnes & Noble. The paperback will be released at the end of June, but I know a lot of people are, you know, they have Kindles and Nooks, so they are able to go on Amazon and also on Barnes & Noble and get a copy as well.
Absolutely, and certainly this is great for we're going into vacations. Kids are graduating, and so people are gearing up for vacations and airplane rides and train rides and trips to the beach and all that good stuff, and it's always great to have, certainly on your Nook and your tablet, on your phones now, on your iPhone, on your Droid, even now have the apps available for all of these books and book outlets, so you can get this downloaded and always have something available to read. Perfect, I think, for the summer.
I agree.
Absolutely. How can people connect with you online and also through social networking?
Okay. Online, they can actually go to my website, which is www.pauletteharper.com. They can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and then my email address, if they want to email me, is pharperjohnson@gmail.com. But I'd love for them to befriend me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter, and then also check me out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
All right, there you go. And we have tweeted her and tagged her in Facebook, so it'll be very easy to connect. Certainly, I know you're following me on Twitter. If you're not, go follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. And, of course, Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. You can find all the connection points there. So let's mention some of your previous work as well. So tell our listeners some of your other books that you have out and available.
Okay. My first book I wrote that was released in 2008 is That Was Then, This Is Now, This Broken Vessel Restored. And then in 2010, I released a second nonfiction book, which is called Completely Whole. And then I also have a Right Now Author's Manual for any author, aspiring author, want to learn how to market and promote their book. That is available on in Amazon and also on Barnes & Noble as an e-book. And I have a couple more projects that I'm working on that I'm hoping that at least one novella will be done by the end of the year. And then I'm working on book two, the sequel to The Sanctuary.
Oh, the sequel. And listeners, you got to check out the book trailer, which is available on YouTube as well, to kind of see the words come up, lift up off the page into the pictures. So that will kind of give you more of a visual. So you can go look at the book trailer, which is just like a movie trailer for those that may have never heard that term before, for The Sanctuary, that's available. You can also go to pulsepub.net. Big shout out to Pulse Publishing for that. So PulsePub.net to see that as well. All right. And so I'm telling you, like I said, you do so many things. You're so busy. How do you balance life and ministry and family and your books and writing? How do you balance it all?
Well, one great thing is I've retired, so I'm home a lot. So that
We got to give you a big hand for that.
Thank you. You know, Charvette, that God bless me to be able to do that, and so that gives me plenty of time to be home here and do my writing and help my husband in the ministry, and then do my businesses as well. And so, if I had to work a 9-to-5 job, I just don't know how I would be able to do it. But even being home, I still have to learn how to prioritize, you know, my life.
Yeah.
And so I do that. And so, you know, there are some days that I do more on some days than I do on other days. But I'm able to get it done. God gives me the grace to be able to do what I do with everything that's on my plate.
Well, thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. And then my last question for you, the goal of the show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
You know, Charvette, I think that it's really the readers that that really motivate me. When I get an email or a message from someone on Facebook, you know, from a reader, and they tell me how the books, you know, have really helped them and you know, really inspired them and empowered them, that continues to motivate me to write. With my fiction book, that just was something that I, you know, wanted to do, and God gave me the storyline to do it. And so knowing that there is an audience out there of readers that want books and really want quality books, and so I'm just really grateful and blessed to be able to do that. But it's really to impact and leave a legacy in the hearts of readers that, you know what, Paulette wrote some really good stuff that helped me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Well, Charvette, thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, you're quite welcome. All right, thank you. All right, listeners, I'm telling you what, that's going to wrap up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Check back with us next week. We'll see you later.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.